National.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Jackson Vunganyi for hosting the past two shows. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Jackson. And let's give another one to Yalom Zerf Yeyalau, who became the first woman in history to run under 64 minutes for the half marathon distance. The 22-year-old Ethiopian clocked 63 minutes and 44 seconds at the Antrim Coast Half Marathon. Now, the flat course is billed as the fastest half marathon in Ireland and one of the fastest courses in Europe. Yalom Zerf took 18 seconds off the previous world half marathon record set by Kenya's Ruth Chepngetich on April 4th in Istanbul, Turkey. Chepngetich is the reigning world champion at the full marathon distance. The Kenyan competed in the Olympic women's marathon earlier this month in Sapporo, Japan, where she was one of 15 runners who did not finish, mainly because of the heat in Sapporo. Getting back to Yalom Zerf Yeyalau, the new world record holder at the half marathon distance, she described her achievement as a dream come true. Elsewhere in African athletics, Nigeria won 4 gold medals and 3 bronze medals at the recent World Under-20 Championships in Nairobi, Kenya. Nigeria's 400 meters runners did especially well. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a now-retired athlete who won a gold medal with Team Nigeria in the men's 4x400 meters relay at the 2000 Sydney Olympics, Enefiak Udo Obong.
Yes, the majority of our medals were won by quarter-milers, if you call it majority, of course. Out of the five relays, the 4x4 mixed relay and the 4x4 female or girls was won by Nigeria. And also the 4x4 men, which I think the men, they just narrowly lost out on the medal. So it's not surprising to me because when people come out and say Nigeria is a traditionally strong sprint condition, the truth is we're a traditionally strong quarter-mile nation. And that's what people should understand. While the sprints are explosive, the 100 and the 200 meters are explosive races, which Nigerians are always, it's a glamorous Nigeria. The 400 meters has been a race in which we churn out lots of talent in both youth and junior and senior levels. Our first track and field Olympic medal was the 4x4. It was an African record and it stayed for 20 years. And since that time, we have almost in every Olympics that we win a track medal, barring we win a track medal, we always win in the 4x4. In 1984, we won the bronze in 4x4, men. In 88, we didn't win any track medal. In 1992, we won track medal, but we didn't win in the 4x4. But in 96, we won the silver in the 4x4 women. In 2000, of course, that was my race, my Olympics. We won gold for men, and we narrowly missed out on the 4x4 women. In 2004, we won bronze in the 4x4 again. So we see that the 4x4 has traditionally been stronghold of Nigeria. So I'm not too surprised that the quarter-milers are the ones that did a great job and won 3 of our 4 gold medals, I think. And it's impressive.
Nigeria is blessed with young quarter-milers. Given their fantastic performance in Kenya at the World Athletics on a 20 Championship, what should be done to keep them informed ahead of some international events next year?
When we talk about our young quarter-milers, we look at people like Imabong Okum. I mean, Imabong has been an amazing athlete. She won the National Sport Festival Senior at the age of 14. She defended that title. She won the junior, the national youth championship at the age of 14. She won the national sport festival senior at the age of 14. She defended, 2 years later, she defended at the age of 16. She defended the national sport festival gold medal. She defended the youth again. So she's been a talent and she's been improving very well. She's worked very closely with her state government, the Akwa Ibom state government, has supported her. A lot of credit should go to her coach, the Daniel Omoiti, her grassroots coach, right, from that helped to nurture her, even training her from school, traveling all the way to her school just to train her and bringing her from a very small rural village to stay in the metropolis of Oyo so that she can have better training. Also supported by some of the coaches in the national level like Gabriel Okon and the rest. So we have seen that she's not the only one. There are lots of other young athletes that are doing well. And you can see from that team, we had a 16-year-old girl. We had Ima Bong that was 17. And that's an under-20 team that went there. But you see, 16 and 17-year-olds. We've had Favour Philly too, who ran the relays and ran the 200 meters winning a bronze. It's an amazing quarter mile. She's an LSU. We've had lots of athletes coming through the ranks. And when you add this to the rich tradition and history that we've had of quarter mile, in the ladies especially, the ladies have always produced champions. There was a time, I think in 1996 or in the late 90s, that we had three of the best five quarter milers in the world. And we're talking about Charity Okpara, we're talking about Fatima Yusuf, we're talking about Falila Togunkoya.
Do you see the emergence of new stars in the mold of Innocent Egbunike, Sunday Bada, and Nefeku Dobon from Team Nigeria that went to the Kenya World Athletics Championships?
We've had an amazing tradition of that, and we had quarterbacks coming in from the junior level, from the local scene, Doris Jacob, Rosemary Okafor. So we've had a history of a great tradition of this, and I believe that it's a tradition that's continuing. Sometimes when there's a problem in their development, it's normally a problem of administration. It's normally a problem of has to do more with the AFN than has to do more with the athletes. So I think that the athletes will come around good. And of course, within them, we are seeing the new generation. And very soon, the names of Innocent Egbunike, Nefia Kudo Obong, Sunday Badas, Clement Chiku, Unduka Wazi, Falila Togunkoya, Fatima Yusuf, Charity Okpara, those names will be fading out into history as this new crop will come up. Give them the next 3 years. I'm sure even by Paris, they should be ready to run and to win medals again for the Nigerian team.
That's Anefiak Udo Obong, Olympic gold medalist for Team Nigeria at the 2000 Sydney Games in Australia. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Anefiak Udo Obong, a member of the Nigerian 4x400 meters gold-winning relay team from the Sydney Olympic Games. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African football, teams across the continent are preparing for 2022 World Cup qualifying matches this week. There are 20 matches scheduled between Wednesday and Friday, spanning all 10 African qualifying groups. This group phase of the competition will continue through November. The 10 group winners will then be drawn into 5 home and away ties. And the 5 winners of each tie will advance to the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. In a Group G World Cup qualifier on Friday, Ghana will host Ethiopia in Cape Coast. Joining us now from Ghana's capital, Accra, with a preview is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori. Sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Black Stars of Ghana will this Friday host Ethiopia in a World Cup Group G qualifier in Cape Coast. As part of preparations, most of the call-up professionals arrive in Accra on Monday from their respective clubs and reported to camp ahead of the September 3rd assignment. In an interview, Ghanaian football analyst John Amoa expressed his thoughts on the Friday game.
If you consider the teams in our group, it seems they are fairly balanced, but, you know, since it's a World Cup qualifier, every African team would want to participate in the World Cup, and so matches concerning the World Cup are very tough. And so in Cape Coast, it will be a tough game because considering the strength of the two teams, you know, Ethiopians have once been African champions, though they've not participated in the World Cup. Ghana consistency in World Cup matches, yes, they are. But in the 2018 World Cup, they didn't qualify, so that has been a break. But so, since the tradition, Ghana would be a force to reckon with.
CK Akuno, who is the coach of the Black Stars, released his call-up team of 30. There are certain uncertainties, and then I think he's still calling some other players, whereby some couldn't make it. So is it a problem for the coach and the team?
Yes, I think so. Because when a coach at this stage cannot get the full complement of his squad, it's a problem. And the problem stems from the fact that the European leagues have started and we have most of these boys playing in the European leagues. And so CK Akono not be able to get all the players. It's a problem. That's why he keeps changing the players. And for consistency's sake, I think the strength of the team will be affected. But like I always say, when it's a Ghana team playing and it's a World Cup qualifying match, every player that will get the opportunity to play would deliver his best.
So how do you think about the scoreline? If you can make a prediction against Ethiopia in Cape Coast Friday.
It's a tricky issue. You know, everybody wants to be at the World Cup, so it's a very tricky issue. And Ghana, you know, the Cape Coast Stadium has now become our home. Formerly, matches were being played at the Accra Sports Stadium, and now it has shifted to the Cape Coast Stadium. And so Ethiopians, they will be a very good team, as I see. But I believe Ghana playing at their home would come out successfully.
That was an interview with Ghanaian sports analyst John Amua. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. The Black Stars of Ghana have already qualified for next year's Nations Cup in Cameroon. The Black Stars will travel to Cameroon with mixed emotions. Though they are four-time African champions, they realize the last time they lifted the Nations Cup trophy was in 1982. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yawafusu Larbi joins us once again from Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. 4 Africa Cup of Nations titles and 3 FIFA World Cup appearances, one of which in the quarterfinals of the prestigious competitions. The Black Stars of Ghana have long been regarded as a power in African football. The country's reputation reached the pinnacle at the 2010 World Cup when they were just a penalty kick away from becoming the first ever African country to reach the semi-finals of the FIFA World Cup.
Asamoah Gyan has the opportunity to send Ghana into the semi-finals of the World Cup. And he hits the bar!
The whole world blamed Uruguayan Luis Suarez for denying Africa a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But for many Ghanaians, that moment is symbolic of Ghana's failings at major competitions. So close, yet so far. Next year's Africa Cup of Nations in Cameroon marks exactly 40 years since Ghana last won a major continental trophy, last winning the AFCON in Libya in 1982. Since then, the Black Stars have reached the semi-finals on 6 occasions, the finals 3 times, with 2 of those ending in penalty shootout heartbreak.
Boubacar Barry to win the Cup of Nations for Ivory Coast! He's done it! Cote d'Ivoire!
Ghanaian football fans were usually sympathetic towards the situation, mending their hearts every 2 years, only to have them broken again. But there's only so much disappointment football fans can take before they start to question their loyalties. Over the last 5 years, Ghanaian fans have become more hardline in their expectations of the team, largely motivated by the bonus row that ruined the country's participation at the 2014 World Cup. The conversation around the team has become toxic at times, with fans expecting nothing less than a title every time the AFCON comes around. The head coach of the team, CK Akono, has taken notice himself, urging the general public to be a little bit positive in their commentary of the team.
we all have to now change from where we are to a bit of positivity. You know, the fact that I know some people doubt if we'll be able to make it or not. It's not about that again. Now, we've all been yearning for this opportunity to go and win the AFCON. We want to do it. We've all been talking about, but we have been negative. And so we need to change that aspect of our thoughts and thinking. Of course, we don't have any other group of players. The ones we have are the ones we're using now.
With 4 months to start another Africa Cup of Nations, debate continues to rage about on the quality of Ghana's squad to deliver that elusive fifth title. Goal scoring is of particular concern to the team, with Ghana's top striker Jordan Ayew only managing one goal for Premier League side Crystal Palace in the whole of last season. This has led to calls for the inclusion of 36-year-old Asamoah Gyan in Ghana's squad for Cameroon. Ghana's record goal scorer, the former captain, has played less than 90 minutes of football in the last 12 months and recently admitted to struggling for fitness since joining Ghana Premier League side Legon Cities. But president of the Sports Rights Association of Ghana, Kwabena Yeboah, insists Jan's presence could do the team an awful lot more than solve their goal-scoring problem.
I personally feel as a nation, we should make him part of Team Ghana. Even if he doesn't make it as one of the players, I think as an inspirer of the team, as part of Team Ghana, we should see him out there. He has a way of inspiring are these players who take a lot of encouragement and praise from him. So let me, I mean, conclude by saying that whether he is able to convince the coach to be part of the 23-man squad that is going to play or not, the Ghana Football Association should consider strongly how we make him part of Team Ghana.
Ghana's Africa Cup of Nations drought is not only a concern to football fans, but one that has become a national problem. In April this year, President Akufo-Addo called on corporate institutions in the country to help raise $25 million to help sponsor the team's participation at next year's Africa Cup of Nations and the qualifiers for the FIFA 2022 World Cup in Qatar. The announcement sparked outrage, but the sports minister, Mustafa Yusuf, has persisted. The plans, one sure way he believes the country's Africa Cup of Nations failures can end.
It is the dream of our nation to win the African Cup of Nations again in Cameroon next year, and also to qualify for the FIFA World Cup in Qatar. This campaign, which requires a substantial amount of investment to be able to execute this mandate, government alone cannot shoulder the cost at the expense of other sporting disciplines. Historically, Your Excellency, the Black Stars have done so well any time corporate Ghana has thrown its weight behind the team.
If history is anything to go by, money has not particularly engineered a decent showing for Ghana at the Africa Cup of Nations. What is certain, though, there is a debate how desperately the country wants to win the Africa Cup of Nations title again. Just ask team captain Andre Ayew.
Everybody wants the trophy. The players want the trophy. The country wants the trophy. I think we are going to do everything that we can, but now there are even 24 teams. So it's even harder than it was before. So we have to prepare very, very well.
For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the year's final Grand Slam tournament, the U.S. Open, officially began Monday in New York City. More than 53,000 fans flocked to the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center. They were barred from the big tennis facility last year because of the coronavirus pandemic. Tournament officials say the fans must show proof of at least one dose of a coronavirus vaccination to enter. And we'll hear from a few of those fans now.
It's incredible. It's really great to see the excitement and the energy back. And hopefully we'll see some great tennis.
Just to watch the tennis, I've never been to something like a sport really so big before, and I'm really excited.
I am so thrilled that you needed a vaccine card to get in, and we'll be wearing our masks when it's crowded, and I think it's what we should be doing.
I love tennis, I love the grounds, I love my brother, and we get to hang out here.
It's fantastic. We didn't stop playing tennis, but we don't play at this level. So we like to come and see if we can improve our game, but it feels great. Great to see people back, and it's just the energy of this place. It is a very happy place.
When we got our tickets, I just about cried just thinking about being back. But I feel outside, I feel safe, and the vaccine thing was huge to feel like it's okay to be here.
You've been listening to some tennis fans on the opening day of the U.S. Open in New York City. The tournament is lacking some star power, with former champions Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, and Serena Williams sidelined by injuries. But the fans sure sound excited to be able to watch some top tennis in New York. The defending women's singles champion Naomi Osaka of Japan got off to a winning start on Monday. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Women's defending champion Naomi Osaka has moved safely through to the second round of the US Open, the third seed gradually finding touch in a 6-4, 6-1 win over the Czech Maria Buzkova. A much tougher win, though, for the men's number three seed, with Stefanos Tsitsipas taking five sets and almost 5 hours to beat the veteran Andy Murray. Good first-round wins for Sloane Stephens, Christina McHale, Brandon Nakashima and Frances Tiafoe. Unfortunately, all those coming at the expense of fellow Americans. I'm Graham Agars.
Hi, I'm Frances Tiafoe. You're listening to Sunnyside of Sports on Voice of America.
Frances Tiafoe defeated fellow American Christopher Eubanks in four sets in his opening match. The South African Kevin Anderson, the 2017 U.S. Open runner-up, also won his opening match. Kevin beat Czech opponent Jiří Veselý in five sets.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. In African men's basketball, Angola and Guinea posted victories Monday to advance to the quarterfinals of the 30th AfroBasket Championship Tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. The Angolans have been the dominant team in African men's basketball over the years. They have won the continental title 11 times, and they moved into the quarterfinals with a 70-62 victory against Egypt. Veteran guard Carlos Moraes led the Angolans with 16 points, while guard Omar Farag led Egypt in scoring with 11 points. Angola will next play Senegal on Wednesday at the Kigali Arena. Meanwhile, Guinea is through to the quarterfinals after a 72-68 win against host Rwanda. Cedric Mansare had a team-high 16 points for Guinea, while Kenny Gasana scored a game-high 28 points for Rwanda. Guinea will next play Ivory Coast on Wednesday in the quarterfinals.
Spotty greetings. This is Elizabeth Ayanacho, a Nigerian taekwondo athlete. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Elizabeth, and congratulations on making your Olympic debut at the Tokyo Games. Elizabeth is now looking ahead to the 2024 Paris Olympics. Joining us once again is Iron Mike Mbonye. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Nigeria's female taekwondo athlete, Elizabeth Ayanacho's chances of participating in the Paris Olympic Games appears to be brighter. Ayanacho, 22, lost in the round of 16 to former world champion Noor Tata of Turkey at the Tokyo Olympic Games. In the latest ranking released by World Taekwondo, Ayanacho is now ranked 28th in the world, while her Olympic ranking improved to 42 from 65th position prior to the Olympic Games. The improved ranking will brighten Ayanacho's target of qualifying automatically for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games, because qualification rules allocate automatic qualification slots to the top six Olympic-ranked athletes in the months leading up to the Games. Ayanacho says she will work hard to earn enough points to be in the top six in the world.
The important part of the ranking is to be top six in the world on Olympic ranking, because that will enable me to qualify automatically. And right now, I'm weighing 26 in the world and 42 in the Olympic ranking. There's two ranking system, so we have the world and the Olympic ranking. So I have to be in among the top 30 in the Olympic ranking this year. That was the target this year. So the ranking system is very important, because if I should get a lot of competitions this year, I'll be able to hit that target of being in the top 30. And it's going to enhance my performance within 3 years to be able to help me get enough ranking point to be in top six. And that will help me to qualify automatically for Paris 2024.
Ayanacho says though she lost at the Tokyo Olympic Games, the lessons learned will help her in the future.
Tokyo was very hard for me. I wanted to spring a surprise, even though I had a lot of encouragement telling me Paris 2024. But I really felt I had the skills and talent to spring a surprise at this Olympic. But my opponent also was very experienced, and she's good. And I now understand the trainings and lessons I'm being taught during my training sections, that it's not only the skills that can take you there. You also need the emotional experience, how to handle the tensions, how to handle the anxiety. And now this Olympic has helped me to understand that better. And I'm sure the lessons and training will come in handy.
Chika Chukwumerije, the technical director of Taekwondo Federation of Nigeria, says Ayanacho will take part in some tournaments this year to get to top 30 Olympic ranking.
So definitely, we're very happy to see this. It's a lot of hard work. Yes, if she won one or two fights or got to finals, it would even have been better, you know. But that's why we have to keep fighting to capitalize on this game. There are almost between 6 to 10 more tournaments this year to see how she can get to top 30 this year, Olympic ranking. So that was the target I gave to her last year. And I think we're on course to achieve that target.
Chukwumerije says the Taekwondo Federation of Nigeria will use the tournaments to expose other athletes and make them get good world rankings.
It's also a blueprint, you know, to a wake-up call. So we don't want everything to be about Elizabeth. There are a lot of good taekwondo athletes across the country. But also, it also makes me think of how we can also find a way of exposing other national athletes so that a lot of people can get very good ranking.
Chukwumerije says the federation will work hard to qualify 4 athletes for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. And that wraps up the August 31st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.